Today's title is Come Against in the Name of the God. Good morning. I would like to thank you for gathering together before the Lord this morning and receiving the Word of God. In our daily lives, we may suddenly encounter big obstacles. We may encounter problems that are beyond our control. The words of Scripture we will examine together today are from a battle that is well known throughout the world, the battle between David and Goliath. When we are on the verge of a crisis, when a huge war stands in front of us, how do we stand up to it? We would like to receive that from the Word of God. Let's open 1 Samuel, verse 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. First. First Samuel 17 verse 1 through 7. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled a circle in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Sokol and Azekah. Saul and Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet Philistine. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighing 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. The scene is the valley of Elah, 24 kilometers southwest of Jerusalem, where the armies of Israel and the Philistines stand on his hills facing each other, and the battle is about to break out. Tension is running high in valley of Elah, and the situation is tense. Then a representative warrior came out from the Philistine, Goliath, the giant. The Bible describes in detail what he looked like. He was 6.5 cubits tall, and 1 cubit is about 44 centimeters. So he was about 2 meters and 19 centimeters, which is an incredible height. He wore a bronze helmet and scale armor. His breastplate alone weighed 5,000 shekels. 1 shekel is 11.5 grams, so his breastplate alone weighed 57 kilograms. The bronze shin guard, bronze throwing spear, and the spear handle were as thick as weaver's winding rod, and the spearhead weighed 600 shekels, or about 7 kilograms from four spearhead alone. The spearhead was six. There were no blacksmiths anywhere in Israel at that time, and there were no weapons made of bronze or iron. Under such circumstances, the presentative warrior of the Philistine who came out was not only the most gigantic body ever seen, but also came with the most powerful and state-of-the-art weapons to be seen. Goliath mocked the Israelite warrior and said, "Come and fight me in single combat. The one who loses will be a slave. I will taunt the camp of Israel." The Bible describes Israel's reaction to seeing Goliath and hearing his words as follows. 1 Samuel 17:11. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all Israelites were dismayed and terrified. The Israelites, or even Saul, the king who leads the battle, are discouraged and fearful. It foreshadows a bleak future for Israel. What will happen to God's people Israel? Let us look at the verse that followed. Now David was son of Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers bring back some assurance from them." When the Bible says the word "now" in verse 12, it suddenly begins to tell the story of different place. The Bible suddenly turns away from the tense, deadly atmosphere of the valley of Elah and suddenly begins to tell the story of a boy in Bethlehem, David, the shepherd boy, in stark contrast to the tense valley of Elah. This is a peaceful scene. It is a scene that is different from battlefield, one may even say, out of place. But today, the salvation of God's people Israel begins here. The Bible abruptly shifts the scene from the Valley of Elah to David in Bethlehem, and continues until verse 20. When David arrives in the Valley of Elah as his father's messenger, but in between, in verse 16, the tense scene of the Valley of Elah is described again, only this time when the slight interruption. Verse 16, for 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and every and took his stand. We see through the word of verse 16 that the Israelites in the Valley of Elah and David in Bethlehem are going on at the same time. The 40 days of King Saul and Israelite soldier in the Valley of Elah and David's daily life in Bethlehem during that time simultaneously unfold in our minds as we read the words. Consider the 40 days of Israelites in the Valley of Elah. As we saw, Allah King Saul and the other Israelite soldiers are discouraged and afraid of Goliath. Nevertheless, this is Israel, God's people. It is in times like that, like this, that we should trust God and take courage, but they are afraid. Indeed, huge warrior appears with powerful weapons in his body and in his hand. The reason for fear is clear, but I think the true nature of Israel's fear is deeper. Let's look back, so-called kingdom Israel, where a king ruled over the people. There were a number of kingdoms around, but Israel was not one. However, they take a closer look at the true nature of nation of Israel. We can see that Israel was kingdom from the beginning. But if we look closely at the true nature of nation of Israel, Israelites were not content with God ruling as king, and they begged that when they need a great king like the other nations. This was sad in God's eyes and in the eyes of prophet Samuel, but God answered the people's plea and allowed them to have a king. And the Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Then Samuel said to the Israelites, Everyone go back to your own town. This part is 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 22. And the first king of Israel who was chosen for them, the Israelites, was a man named Saul. The way in which Saul's character is described is also impressive. The Bible describes him in this way. As handsome, 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 2, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. So, he was beautiful young man, and he was chosen by as Israel king. So people wanted to rely on human power and ability. And their hearts became clear through Saul's words. And then God changed the king of Israel, and he said, I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. The boy David is chosen as king. David is chosen to be king for God's sake. In choosing David, God speaks very striking words with which we are all familiar. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. When Samuel went to see Esau, David was not there, and his older brothers were introduced first. When Samuel saw Eliab, the eldest son, he thought that this was the man who would be king. This was because Eliab was excellent appearance that made him look like he could be a very capable man. But the God said, do not look at his looks or his height. I am retreating from him, for I do not look at him as men look at him, for I do and man looks on people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. These words were spoken to Samuel, but I believe that they are words that describe the whole picture of Israel at that time. What God's words reveal is that what the Israelites were pursuing was a superficial world, the world of appearances. In other words, is a world that relies on the power of man and his ability to survive. Let us consider again what is happening in the valley of Elah. Why is Israel, God's people, now afraid? It is because Goliath is at the top of the heap. Until they met Goliath, Israel had powerful men to be proud of. Our King Saul, who was taller than anyone else. Goliath was much taller than Saul. His strength was immeasurably stronger, and his weapons were beyond compare. Goliath appears morning and evening for 40 days, challenging Israel to battle, cursing them and crying out that if they lose, they will make them slaves of the Philistines. If you look a little deeper into the world of the superficial, it is a self-centered mindset that said, I will make my own life on my own. It is good when I am able and successful. It seems happy, but when you find yourself in a situation where you can no longer compete with your abilities, what comes is tremendous fear and anxiety. This is the state of Israel today. The way of life that says, I will make my own way in life, is on the other hand, a way of life that says, I will take responsibility for my own problems. Therefore, even when things get out of control, we have to do something about it. But there is nothing we can do, and the fear of what to do comes. Today's picture of Israel has made me question myself very much. Are we not seeking the world of appearance? Are we not living in the world of appearance? How about us? With today's fearful Israelites at his side, the Bible suddenly takes place in Bethlehem. The Bible tells us, as we read it today, that there is a completely different world, a completely different way of looking at things than the world on the surface. David, the shepherd boy in Bethlehem, lived in a different world than the Israelites in the valley of Elah. Let's look at chapter 17, verse 34 through 37. This is David telling King Saul about his times as shepherd in Bethlehem. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off sheep from flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion, and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David recounts his experience while tending sheep. He was confronted and defeated lions and bears that attacked his sheep. This is David's amazing fighting ability. But what is truly amazing is the reason David was able to defeat the lions and bears he is talking about. "The Lord," David said, "God has delivered me, David, from the claws of lions and bears." What kind of the world has David lived in? We know it from what David said. The world in which he lived is a world in which God saves and helps. It is a way of life that says, "God is going to open up my life." We too encounter Goliath in our daily walk. We also encounter Goliath in our daily walk. We encounter them intentionally when they force us to confront problems that are beyond our control. At that time, we are confronted with two paths. Do we take the path we can open up on our own, or do we take the path that Lord will open up for us? As we well know, David would later achieve an amazing victory over the fearsome giant Goliath. But in fact, David also hit this fork in the road, this crossroads, before the battle. It was a meeting with Saul, the king of his own nation, Israel. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 31 through 33 and 37 through 40. What David said was overheard that reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." And from verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. David also stood before the fork in the road. It was a command from the authoritative King Saul to take up arms. David was invited to fight with the strength of your weapons. David once put on weapons that King Saul had him wear. However, David immediately takes off his armor and put off his sword. I believe that this delicious decision by David to return the weapons from King Saul is an abandonment or decision to fight by human power. David did not rely on strength of men. David's heart was not controlled by the power of weapons, by the power of men, but something else, but by another. Having laid down his weapon, David moves from King Saul. Picking up his one staff, he went to the river in the valley and began to pick up stones. He picked out 5 smooth stones from the river bank and put them in his shepherd's throwback, which he had always used. David did not take up a weapon, but picked up stones from the river. This is the valley of the battlefield, a valley of the battlefield, valley of full of tension. David's actions were unexpected. Saul and the other Israel soldiers must have wondered what the hell he was doing. When David picked up the stone, it must have looked like a man who has gone crazy, but there was a clear decision and a confession in David's picking up the stone. In verse 14, it says that David picked up the stone and put it a shepherd's bag, a bag for throwing stones. David is shepherd. This bag of stones was something he used all the time. To protect his sheep from the wild beast of prey, he put the stones he picked up in a bag. Up to now, David has been taking stones out of this bag of stones, and he has been confronting the raging beast that attacked his sheep. You said this is the reason why David has been able to kill the raising beast until now. The Lord God has delivered me, David, from the claws of lions and bears. Considering this, I don't think David's act of picking up the stone was just a desire to fight the way he was used to fighting. In the act of picking up the stone, David's silent determination and confession are clearly expressed. God is my strength. When David confronted Goliath, he declared, God is my strength. And 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 through 47, David said to Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of Philistine army to birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hand. I will not fight with sword and spear. I will fight in the name of the Lord. God will fight. This is how David, the victor, fights. David puts his hand in his sack, takes stone, and throws it with stone thrower. The thrown stone hits the forehead of giant Goliath. The stone bites into his forehead, and the giant falls to the ground on his face. David was victorious through the Lord. In the name of the Lord of the God of Israel, warring armies, I will confront you. This confession came out of David's mouth when he confronted Goliath, but it had already appeared in his action earlier. It was already there in David's action of picking up the stone. Where is the victory of the battle decided? Actually, most battles we face are not won on the battlefield, but long before the battle begins. If we look at it generally, the most important time theme seems to be on the battlefield when he faced Goliath. But David's victory was already there when he picked up the stone by the river. His determination to fight in the name of the Lord was already here. Now, if you think about it, David's victory would have been much earlier. It was the usual days when he was picking up stones in the land of Bethlehem. It was David's daily routine of picking up stones over and over again, believing that God would protect him from ravenous beasts that attacked his sheep. In his daily life in Bethlehem, David had already won. God is looking for people today who will live by him. It is not something special or glamorous. It is a person who needs God in daily life and think about what pleases him. Who is the real winner? It is not whether you can do something or not. It is not whether you have a special talent or not. It is the person who needs God in his or her daily life. Goliath come in our lives and in our daily walk. There are times when we are discouraged and fearful, when we are confronted with a problem that is so difficult that it is out of our control. However, if we can see it as Lord's battle, if we can see it as battle that is in the Lord's hands, then the way we face the problem will be completely different. Today, the Bible shows us one path that seems unreliable. It is David going to the river and picking up stones. It will seem weak and ridiculous. How could he win against the giant with such stone? You can picture in your mind's eyes how you will end up being mocked. This is confession that I leave the whole battle in God's hands, that my weapon is not sword or spear, but God himself, and that this is no longer my battle, but God's battle in which he fights. we can see it as a battle that is in the Lord's hands, then the way we face the problem will be completely different. In the midst of the turmoil, we must steel our hearts and look up to the Lord. We have done this as we have always done. We have talked with God through word and prayer, and we have put all our daily activities in the Lord's hands, believing and expecting. Like David, by God's words, we are encouraged. God can be our power and our daily life. In Lord's hands, we start our new day in such prayer. So we will continue to do as we have always done. It may seem small, weak, unreliable, and even comforting in eyes of some, but here is the victory. In daily life, we need to ask for God. We are weak and small, but we realize God's power changed our life, ourselves, and our life will be fulfilled, peace. Our victory is in our daily life when we ask for the Lord's power. And let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Dear God, in our life, Goliath comes. When we face trouble and suffering, we fear and we struggle, but when trouble happens, we tend to think the problem is my own. But it's self-centered thinking. We throw away such life. You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Our problems are in your hand. Our fight, all our fights in your hands. Please let us confront problems in the name of God, name of the God. We learn daily our daily life with you is our victory. We trust you. We continue to pick up stones. And we confess you are my power. Whatever I can do or not, please. Be with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.